Well, I'll bring you greetings today, and unfortunately, wife Deborah could not be here. She is on a ladies' retreat, but there are other ladies there filling in for a support on my behalf today, so I appreciate that. Really want to thank Pastor Steve and the elders for giving me this opportunity today to be with you and to share from my heart some things that I believe is important for us as a church, as a body of believers. And I want to begin today just by saying that this is a book that I wrote a couple of years ago, and it's called Being Real, Living What You Believe. And there'll be a copy available to each one of you if you want to take more than one copy, if you want to take a couple of copies. They'll be passed out to you at the end of the service, and that is compliments of a family that sponsored the books for you today. So take one of these, and I believe you'll be you'll enjoy that, and it'll give you some good reading material for your life. There's also question and answers in the back of there of each chapter, so that really helps as well for Bible studies or small groups. I want to share it with you today, and I want to read just one of my experiences that how I began this book, because 13 or 14 years ago, as I came to the city of York, and since then have pastored in the city for 13 years, I felt that God dropped something into my spirit. And those of you that had that happen to you on occasions, sometimes he does that weekly, sometimes monthly, sometimes yearly. I often say, don't give me any more words from God for me, because I already have enough to last me for the rest of my life. And if you don't get any prophetic words, and see, those are the kinds of people that we love to hear God's voice, and we like to hear him speaking to us. But sometimes he doesn't speak to us in that freshness or in that newness, is because we still haven't carried out what a word that he might have given us 10 years ago, or even 5 years ago. And so this was a word that was dropped into my spirit 14 years ago. And coming to York, Pennsylvania in 1996, I was seeking the Lord as to the direction he wished to speak to me in establishing his kingdom. I knew that without him, the restoration of church that I had been called to in the midst of a crisis would never happen. During the first year, as things began slowly to change, people felt safe again. I was driving through the city, praying and seeking the Lord, because I have a firm belief that wherever God calls his workers, we must be aware of what he desires to do in that location and community. And too often the church views itself as a separate entity. It seems even schools and civic organizations often have a greater understanding of the community and its needs than the church does. As I was driving down South Duke Street praying, I soon became overwhelmed with the vast needs of the community. Now, how many of you have driven through the city and it's really overwhelming, isn't it? Inwardly, I began to question the validity of my role. It's too difficult. There's just no way that our little church can make any difference. This place has already gone too far. These thoughts came to an abrupt end when my prayerful silence was shattered by the piercing sound of a car horn. I had accidentally gone through a stop sign and narrowly missed hitting a car. Immediately, as I think we all do, thank God for his safety and his intervention in our life. As if in response to my prayer of thanks, I suddenly heard a voice, not audibly, but nonetheless real in my inner self. And it said, "Stay out of the city." And you can read the rest of that in the book. Because a number of years later, I began to realize who that voice was. I began to understand a little bit more about my own personal complacency in terms of living life to its fullest. We've heard Pastor Steve in the last few weeks talk about embracing life and embracing each other as God's community in order that his kingdom will be established and his work will be increased in our life. Living what you believe has been my philosophy and my reality over the years. And so again, take a copy of this book along with you today so that it will be a prayerful guide and I believe will be helpful for you. This morning I want to share with you a message, and it's entitled, A Passion for Serving. What does it mean to serve? And much less, what does it mean to have a passion to serve? The scripture, the text, comes from John 20, verse 21 and 22. And this interesting follows right after the Resurrection Sunday and the message, the powerful message that Pastor Steve gave last week concerning Jesus and his willingness to go the second mile, to go before the cross, to pay for our sins, to give us new life. And so we find in John 20, verse 21, so Jesus said to them, this is where Jesus appeared to the disciples. They were gathered in their upper room. They were secluded from everyone else. They were running or scared for their lives. And Jesus said to them, when he appeared to them, he spoke peace. He said, peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, I send you. And then he did something else. When he has said this, he breathed on it and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. I notice here that in Jesus' appearance to his disciples after Resurrection Sunday, he spoke, first of all, he spoke peace. In each one of your situations today, when you embrace Jesus into the midst of your life, into the midst of your heart, in the midst of all that he is going through, the primary purpose is that the peace of God is brought into your life. God is a God that will bring his presence and his purpose and his power to your life. And so without any other abilities to serve, to live, to have a passion for serving, you must have God's peace in your life. You have no ability to go beyond what God has called and go beyond the normal life if you do not have his peace. And the second thing that you need is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the person, the Godhead of the person that empowers your life to serve. I'm talking to you today about serving, developing a passion to serve. There's a commercial that is out on the TV and the radio, and it goes something like this. It's so easy, caveman could do it. Look at that. We all know that. The power of commercials. Serving and developing a passion to serve God and to his people is easy. It's so easy, a caveman could do it. The kind of passion that Jesus reflects for us in his appearance for us is that same passion. So first of all, there needs to be that peace. There needs to be the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit instructs us in how we serve. And then this verse here is seemingly just thrown in at the end. In verse 23, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. But if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Isn't that amazing that in the process of Jesus sending and commissioning his disciples, that he chooses this matter of forgiveness. And we will see today that forgiveness has become a great and a powerful tool to serve. So we have a passion for serving, John 20, 21. There are a number of great writers and people and that have quoted or we've liked to quote from today. And this is Francis of Assisi. Blessed is the servant who esteems himself no more highly when he is praised and exalted by people than when he is considered worthless, foolish, and to be despised. Since what a man is before God, that he is and nothing more. Great quote, isn't it? From Peter G. Van Brenham. How we can ever manage to love unselfishly, to serve humbly and patiently in spite of frustration, if we do not live on God's forgiveness? Not possible. Here's another quote. And this might hit home for us. The church has earned the reputation of being concerned only for itself. Others have concluded this because the answer to every question is to do something else for ourselves. Let's pray more. Let's conduct a citywide prayer and worship event. Let's build another building. Let's tell people what we think about this issue, and so on. It is always about us. If we are going to become an agent of spiritual and social transformation, it's going to have to be about them. Martin Luther King Jr. said this, everybody can be great because everybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and your verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love. It's not my aching back that prevents me from helping my neighbor any more than my choleric temperament. It's my don't want to do it attitude that does it. Very simple, isn't it? George Bernard Shaw. Independence. That's middle-class blasphemy. We are all dependent on one another, every soul of us on earth. Freely we serve because freely we love. And the Apostle Paul writes in Galatians, my brothers were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge a sinful nature, rather serve one another in love. You see, we weren't set free just to dance around in church. We weren't set free just to have good feelings and praise God. But we were set free from our sins to be able to develop a passion of serving for the Lord. Matthew 20, Jesus says this, yet it shall be not so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. I have some things here this morning that will help us understand. I want to just share in our time that we have with us today. Why? Why develop this? Why have a passion of service? Why is it important that we serve? The number one thing is to follow the example of Jesus. Jesus was the greatest example of a servant of all. If you remember that night that we celebrate, the night before the Good Friday, as we celebrate when Jesus took something, he took a towel and a basin of water, and what did he do? He washed his disciples' feet. Now, that wasn't necessarily because it was their traditional theme that they do, as some churches would operate through that tradition, but it's because there was no servant available to do that. It was a custom that as people journeyed through life and their feet were dusty from the dirt, and when they came in, they were refreshed with hospitality from a servant. And here are Jesus' disciples and all of them together. And you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to make sense of their life. They're trying to make sense of what Jesus has talked to them about and spoken in their life. And they forgot all about serving. They forgot all about that someone needs to do the menial task so that they might have a excellent time of fellowship and togetherness. So we find that Jesus, our example of servant, he went to the cross to serve us. He went to the cross to serve each one of us. The second thing is to help us overcome the barrier of selfishness. I don't know about you, but we all have, or at least I have, a barrier of selfishness that conflicts in my walk with Christ. It will be conflictive in our personality and out of our abilities because we want to be served. Another example in my book I gave is we were working in the city, and we had taken over nine city lots that were weed and drug infested, and we built a park in there, took it over from the city, and just say, hey, you know, let's work at this, we'll work at that. And we used to go down there on Saturdays and clean up this thing, and I felt really good about this. I felt really good that, you know, I'm making a difference. And you'd leave the park, and you knew that next week it would be trashed and back to the way it was before. Until someone's challenged us and says, why don't we clean up the rest of the street? And I thought, well, that's a good idea. And something happened when I stepped off of the property that was ours, that we were taking care of. And something happened. I changed. When I stepped off and began to clean the street, I saw all the people sitting on their front porches. And I began to be frustrated. Why aren't they out helping? Why? What are the lazy people and all these things? And I just had gone from this pious, beautiful, the time with God and saying, yeah, I'm doing this for you, and we're making a difference, till all of a sudden I was confronted with my own selfishness. And I realized that even in my ability or my passion to serve others, my selfishness and my pride was mixed in there. You see, as long as I was on our grounds, that was, well, that's a church. Who's taking care of this? Oh, well, that's Pastor Dean. Oh, that's the church. But, you know, when I stepped off into when it made no difference for me, it was a truly test. It was a true test of servanthood. And that's what servanthood does. And I began to realize, you know what? This park is not just for the people. In fact, it's probably more for me and for those of us that are serving together and called to do that. So as you consider the biker barbecue, and you consider as a congregation things that come up that you will be able to have opportunities to serve, it's first of all, it's for you. Yes, it's for the kingdom, it's for others, but really, it's for you to overcome that barrier of selfishness. Number three, it provides an avenue for God's provision. How does God provide? If we don't serve each other, if we're not in a mindset to be open and available to hear from the Holy Spirit, we are not able to serve. Or we're not able. God is not able to provide and bring His provision in our lives. The fourth thing is it is a way where no one can refute the reality and the love of Jesus. You see, when you just give your testimony and that's all great, and you say, this is what God has done for me, you know what people say? Well, God's done that for you, but probably He will never do that for me Unfortunately, I've heard that over and over again in testimony time. Well, it's great that God healed you, but why am I struggling with whatever I'm struggling with? But when you serve and when you develop this attitude of servanthood, it's a way that no one can refute the reality of Jesus and his great love. Gives us a very practical way to introduce the kingdom of God. Number five, it gives life purpose and meaning. If life is all about us, and if it's just about us as Christians, if there's nothing beyond just ourselves, then our life is empty and meaningless. So it gives us life. You want more purpose in life? Begin to serve. If you want more joy in your life, begin to serve. And this is what will happen, is that the God that serves us will interact with your life and give you purpose and meaning. Finally, the sixth one, it empowers the reality of a forgiving God. When Jesus said, I'm sending you. I am sending you, but what is it? What will be the number one barrier in your life will be you and your ability to step out of the way. Your ability to say, God, it's for you. Our ability as Christians to be undone, as we were singing this morning, in the presence of God. We don't want to be undone. We want to have control of our life. We don't want to be undone and say, God, what is it that you want me to do? We're control freaks, aren't we? We want to know where our life is going next. One of the pilgrims or the season in my life right now, it was so easy for me to stand in front of the congregation for 13 years and say, God will provide. His word tells us he will provide for you. And then for all those times, I get a weekly paycheck. Well, now it's different. Now it's different. And I'm in a season now of being able to trust God again every day. And I'm beginning to have a whole new appreciation for the love of Jesus Christ. That he loves me. He loves us. And he's looking out for us in every detail. I was missing details. Every day I look for a detail. And they're as simple as my son Mike coming over for lunch, dropping in. Mike, I didn't tell you this, but that was my highlight of the day. Dropping in, hey, Dad, hang out a little bit. Do you have something to eat? Yeah, I always have something to eat for you, Mike. It's the details that we miss when we get too wrapped up in the busyness of life. And so I'm thanking God this morning for the season that he has my life in, where we're able to trust him once again in all these things. Here in closing, there are five ways. Five ways. You might want to write these down. They might sound simplistic, but they are very simplistic. But nevertheless, they're very real. Five ways to practice serving. And my challenge today is that you would, in some way, take this message to heart today, and as you leave this place, that first of all, you would seek God's peace and accept God's peace. You really don't have to seek it. It's here. And the more that we're undone in his presence, the more his peace comes in our life. So it comes down to some very simple, basic thoughts. Five ways to practice serving. Number one, it's to show respect and courtesy. You say, well, that's whatever all we should be doing, and you're exactly right. The second one is to listen more than you speak. Do you know that just listening is serving? just listening to someone as they unfold, you don't have to know the problem or the answers. That's what we think many times. Many times, I can't listen to them. I have no answer for them. But you see, if you listen with God's peace, God sends you to them. What's the progression? You have His peace. You're sent with them. You have the Holy Spirit. And God's provision will fall on your life and on theirs. Another very practical thing is just give genuine praise. Number four, keep your promise or your promises as best as you can. Nothing damages serving more than us not being able to keep our promise and live in integrity. And finally, the fifth thing is probably the hardest to do, but it's to practice forgiveness. Forgiving is a serving concept. What is our first response when we have been wronged, when things don't go our way? Our first response is a fleshly response. I will get even. I will let you know. You will soon know who you are messing with. Our first response, probably in every part of our lives. And I tell you what, some of you have been Christians for years and years and years, but you know what? There still are buttons in your life. There are still things in your life that are not securely fastened in the hope of Jesus. So that's why we are allowed these testing and trials in this life, is to help us be refined in His presence. I don't like to practice forgiveness personally. Why? It's because it means that there are things that I'm experiencing that are troublesome or they're in conflict with who I am. But Jesus said, as He sent the disciples, He said, you got the Holy Spirit, you have the peace. You have the peace of God in your life. Now, do this forgiveness thing. Now, unfortunately, sometimes us, as we call ourselves followers of Jesus, are the last ones to forgive. We hold on to many things. This is not an options this morning. Jesus said, and this is the Great Commission, therefore, go, do something. Make disciples of all men, all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. How are you going to teach someone to obey something? Because you're obeying it. How are you going to teach people, your children and those around you, that Jesus is everything? Because you're demonstrating everything that Jesus is. We just bow in prayer, and Gary is going to come up. Our God, we thank you for this time of opportunity we had together. Thank you for your blessing and for your encouragement in our lives. And truly, we will not miss what you're doing in the details of our lives. I speak your blessing, your purpose, and your power, your presence into each one today through Christ. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Amen.